B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Well, it's 3 o'clock. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 3 o'clock hour. It is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Everybody's good. Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock. Let's go to John in Newcastle. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hello, John.
Hey, just getting real quick to what I think it was Mike from Delran said yesterday about that story about the Sixers. That was inside the story. It was the comment by Jackie McCallum where she said this would be the last trade deadline that they would be on the same team together. And I like Jackie and I respect Jackie, but that's a ridiculous statement.
I didn't mention Jackie McCallum.
Yesterday when Mike Delran was talking to you about that story where they talked about predictions in the future.
Oh, yeah. It was a guy by McMahon, I think.
Inside the story, he was getting opinions from a lot of different writers, and it was her little blip that her prediction would be they would never be on the same team again at another trade deadline. But it's just ridiculous because, you know, in all the years I followed sports, one constant in most trades to me is the team that trades the best player loses the trade in most of these trades. I mean,
listen, there are two guys on this team that you have to build around. And you can't, like, at the end of the season go, well, and make some value judgment in your misguided head that they're somehow going to be better if you trade one of them. Like you add to two root pieces. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And it's like, listen, I don't care if these are young guys. I don't care if it takes them 2 or 3 or 4 years to win. Oh, wait, man. I mean, you know, you keep this team together and
I don't know if I can wait three years to win. Next year, if they have two significant pieces like that, I would think that it would be fairly easier to build around two significant pieces than just go blindly into the night. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I'm going down to the casino tonight to put some shekels on the 49ers to the under. What do you think?
I don't play over unders, but I like the Niners.
I like the Niners, too.
Okay, it's a game of chance when you play the unders. I'll go there.
Well, that's not true, but...
You look at it, you go, okay, this team has a great defense, so the score should be low. This team has good offense, so the score should be high. It never works out that way.
Now, there's more metrics to go into that. There's metrics to go into that.
I don't go there.
Well, but it's not a game of chance. It's more sophisticated than just picking the game.
It's more of a game of chance than it is just picking a winner and judging the talent and the merits of both teams.
You have 50-50 the one way. That's not like scientific.
It's more scientific than over-under. I mean, you can't predict how many points are going to be scored.
Yes, you can. You can. These guys can.
Is it easier to pick a winner or to pick the amount of points that are going to be scored?
It's much easier to pick a winner.
Oh, well, that's all I'm saying. So I go with the easier bet.
All right.
Let's go to Mark on a sell. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Mark?
Mike, listen, I've been in your company quite a few times. We're probably going to have a disagreement, but I know you would be a nice guy. So two things I wanted to put out there. You know, Mike, you're not one of these guys that think because you're for Trump that you're a racist, are you?
I am not going to talk about this.
Okay.
You know what my opinion is. I think that this country is being further divided by this president. And the people that continue to worship this president, I think, hold back the country. I think it's disgraceful. And I'm not Republican or Democrat. I'm a free independent. I have lived under Republican presidents before. I've lived quite comfortably. Okay. This guy is a divisive creep.
Okay, so we won't go there.
Okay.
All right, so here's what, this might even be more for Natalie, by the way. Mike, this is really this is how I feel. You're looking at this Harvey Weinstein case right now. Don't be so surprised if he doesn't walk. And I'll tell you what I mean. I've never understood this, and maybe Natalie can school me, she could educate me. I have never, ever understood how a woman who was raped, sexually molested, the first thing she doesn't do is go to the police. And I'm that's, listen, I'm not a woman, but I just don't get it.
Well, it's a shame that you don't get it, because women have been in fear of being labeled. They have been in fear of being their profession being hampered. I mean, for you not to see that it's been a male-dominated world when it comes to professions, I don't know how you cannot see that.
Mike, if a woman is raped, you go to the police station.
You do. And you risk losing everything. You risk everything that you have, because men are in charge, you now risk everything you have done to secede to a certain profession.
And you don't
you think it's that easy?
See,
Mark, here's the thing. You're a man and you don't see the other side. And it, you know, it's a shame.
So the difference now in 2020, mm-hmm. And this is the point that I keep driving home, is rape used to be, and probably to somebody like Mark, you get caught in a alley, or mm-hmm. you are walking down the street in the dark, or you're in these places where you shouldn't be and somebody attacks you. That's why when this got brought up, mm-hmm. I said this can go in so many different directions. And the point of bringing this up and bringing it to the forefront is that it's such a convoluted issue, and you have to understand that there's so many different circumstances when it comes to that. And the only way to progress as a society is to understand that there's been years and years of not speaking about it. So now that we're speaking about it, this is what falls under it.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Unfortunately, people don't put
enough thought in this, because they're not. A man can't relate to it, right? It's just like a white man can't relate to a black man and
right.
his experience in this country. If you are going to try to expose someone like this, and you're in a position where you have to support your family, or you have risen to a certain part of your profession, and now everything is about you is going to be questioned in a court of law, including your sexual history. The defense attorney is going to turn it all against you. You lured the male into this kind of behavior. You wore too sexy of a dress. It wasn't his fault. It was your fault. And you have everything to lose. So that goes through the mind of a female. Females think, well, if you got raped, you go in. It's a lot deeper than that. And people need to understand this.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. It's such a convoluted issue. And it's not as black and white as it used to be, like, 25, 30, like even mm-hmm. 10, you
even
know, 10 even,
never,
10, years
even
ago.
10 years ago. Never.
And like what we've learned from everything that's happened recently is just how complicated it is. And like that caller who doesn't understand, maybe he should pick up a book and read about rape victims and why they don't speak on it. And then think to himself, wow, maybe I should tell somebody about this. That way, if they know somebody who they think is being hurt or whatever, they mm-hmm. they feel free to talk about it. Like, that's where I think I get it. But this is where it goes. This is where that conversation goes.
But somebody close to me, female, I'm not going to reveal any names, talked about, and once this one female revealed it to me, five or six other revealed these situations where they're on a date or they're with a guy that they care about and they're in a car. And then the guy basically tells the girl, if you want to go home, do X. Or I'm mm-hmm. going to put you out the car and put you on the side of the road. And then the women then do what they mm-hmm. have to do to get home. So then if that woman then goes to the police after that, she was willingly in the car. She was willingly with the person. And they would say, oh, you did X and Y? Was that willingly? That is very difficult from a woman to tell to the police and then have a jury of her peers believe it, because the guy will be clean cut. He's not down an alleyway. And that previous caller, unfortunately, thinks that it's all dark alley and knife point. That's not how this situation happened. That's not how Kobe Bryant's situation happened. The accuser admitted she went willingly to the hotel room. And then she claims that the stuff happened. This is, like Natalie said, nuance, and I think we all have to do a better job of recognizing, like putting a face on it, and the face is anybody, not a thug in an alley. You get what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. that particular thing, I know personally at least a half dozen women who were assaulted by people they knew to get home. They had to choose between being assaulted and being left in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's what I mean?
That's hard to take the heart. See, the Harvey Weinstein thing is a Hollywood story, okay? So it might not relate to our previous caller. The women actresses who have now come forth, including Annabelle Sciorra, who you know from many movies, including The Sopranos, and Jungle Fever, Copland, a lot of movies. So she's saying this happened to her early in her career. He forced herself upon. Now, she has chosen this Hollywood profession. She wants to rise up to the Hollywood profession. This is a powerful male figure who has the power to either destroy your career or enhance your career. And he would do it willingly. So now she goes through the parameters. I just got raped by this guy. If I come forth, my career in Hollywood is over. This is all I wanted to do. So while you sit there and you say, well, it should be easy for someone to make a decision, it's really not.
Thank you.
Jay L. on a cell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Hi, Mike. Good afternoon.
What's up, Jay?
That gentleman who brought up that ridiculous, archaic comment kind of told on himself before he even made that comment with his previous question to you.
Yeah.
But I'll move on. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised he's the one who asked that question. All right, I'll move on. As far as the Kobe Bryant situation, it's very complex. You talked about the reflex or the feeling of being re-victimized amongst women in a situation where they feel they weren't being recognized. And I think that is one very distinct layer to it. I think there's also another layer that we're sort of missing, and that is the history in this country of white women accusing black men of sexual assault and black men dying because of it. And so you have two layers to this that are very, very complex, very, very real, and there is stress and there is trauma on both sides. And so for me, I agree 1,000% for what Tyrone said. You can talk about the situation. I actually am a teacher. I teach journalism. You can talk about the situation objectively. You have to include that in it. But what you can't do is talk as if it happened or talk as if it didn't happen. You have to recognize the incident, right? And you have to address it. But you can't start, sort of injecting your own opinion to it. But I just wanted to bring it forth that there are a lot of women who are saying, hey, we are not being recognized in this situation. And I fully understand the trauma that goes into that. But what we also have to recognize is that this country has a horrific history, Mike, horrific history of black men dying based on a white woman's word. And it's uncomfortable to say this, and I know that we don't want to talk about this kind of thing, but that is also a part of it, and that is also why many people of color rally behind Kobe, even if they don't know the facts, and they sort of jump in his corner automatically. Mike, your thoughts?
I think you're absolutely right about it. You have a pretty good spin on it. I'm looking at this thing. I'm trying to look at this thing objectively. It would be bad form with the tragedy that happened on Sunday and how emotional people were about it. It would be bad form to bring this up as part of the narrative then, because I do believe you have to have respect for a tragedy like this that takes lives.
Yes, let me breathe.
Down when you get a chance to settle in a little bit, there are some people that will see the other side of this.
Yes.
And I can't sit here in judgment of those people because that means something to them.
Correct. But Mike, I just wanted to put that out there in the universe that some men, particularly black men, we're not saying we don't believe women. What we are saying is recognize some of the trauma that has been done to us. We talk about victims. And so we understand that many, 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 many women have been victims. That last guy needed to get a clue. But again, at the same time, we have to recognize that dynamic, that particular dynamic has gotten black men killed. And so there is that to be recognized as well.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Jay, I thank you for calling. Appreciate it. All right, Karen in Lafayette Hill. Karen, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Karen.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys.
Hi, Karen.
It's the first time caller.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to you every day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But this topic has gotten my blood boiling.
Okay.
First of all, yes, Kobe was an amazing player. He did everything right. He made a mistake. He did something wrong. He did go, the girl did go to the hotel room. There was a trial to be taking place. He hired a defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take place because, you know what? They settled out of court.
No, it didn't take place because she did not want to show up to the trial. And then this lawsuit came down, a civil lawsuit came down, and that's where the money came.
Okay. And then he gives his wife, where there were no children at that time, a beautiful ring, and it was on television, and he apologized, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
It still leaves a little bit of a black mark. Yeah, he was an amazing human being. He did everything right after that point, and we should be thankful for that. But still, there is a black mark, and if it happened today, he would be on the list. He would have had a problem.
Well, who is not acknowledging that this is part of the story? We are acknowledging that it is part of the story. Where are you offended exactly?
I'm not actually offended. I just think that we're talking about it now, and it's Wednesday, and this happened Sunday. I just think everything about it, nobody would have known if nobody have read about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't written about. It was...
Well, not at first, because it was such a tragedy. The tragedy has to be written in a certain way where you're not going to put that in, like, right away.
I understand. I just maybe...
There was a 13-year-old girl that died in this. There were other young people that died in this, other adults. I mean, that's not the time to come in with Kobe Bryant was wonderful, but on a Sunday when it happens.
I don't want to sound cold. I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. I'm just saying, like, it was going to be part of the narrative, but you have to understand that it would be bad taste to make that part of the narrative. Because you have to embrace the whole tragedy of what it was.
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible.
All right, you got it. I don't know.
One thing is, I hope that we have not been offensive with the topic. I think we're trying to be deliberate and thoughtful about the topic. That's all. I don't think we're being offensive at
all. No, and I think because it came up organically yesterday, we didn't lead with this. We all have our own takes on it where the importance of it lies.
Yeah, because it's not like we pre-discussed it doesn't really work like
this. This is what it means for me. That's what it means for Ty, you know, and this is where you're coming from. So we're trying to have an educational conversation about the topic as a whole because it's here.
All right. Now, while we're on this subject, I've been offensive. And I'm gonna look at everybody in the eye right now who's listening, who got offended by my comment about the gathering in Wildwood. I said tongue in cheek, and I used the word Klan. I did not mean that. I meant Trump rally. It was kind of tongue-in-cheek and flippant of me to say that. So the people that were offended, including this guy that's emailing me named John McWilliams. John, I apologize to you if that offended you. I went too far using the word, and I tried to be too snarky. What do you think?
I think that's a fair apology there.
Okay.
It's a fair apology. We're just trying to have fun here.
It's been it's been a very emotional week.
It has.
Stressful.
And I embrace all people.
We love everybody.
We love everybody.
We actually really do.
Yes.
And we're not
we have different views on how the world should continue to evolve. My personal view is that we should preach more tolerance and acceptance for others, rather than trying to divide society, because we have a problem already with a divided society, and I don't think we should divide it any further, especially in the year 2020. So this is a topic that is very personal to me, because I care about our world, and I care about our society, and I don't like to see it denigrate into a civil war. So sometimes my emotions get the better of me, and I use the poor choice of words. So all you Trump fans out there, I got nothing but love for you. I happen not to have love for the man.
That's allowed.
Jim in Havertown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Yo, Mike, I'm glad you went to me, man. I feel for you guys fielding all these calls to me. It's a tough subject. I don't know you can't solve it. There is no solving this. You know, we're all family people. We all have daughters, cousins, aunts, aunt, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. It's just tough. It's rough listening to some of this.
Yeah. It's part of the story. And when this happened, I wondered, as a journalist, when it was going to really enter the picture.
Yeah, me too.
We lost him? Oh, no. We lost Jim?
I'm glad they were respectful of the tragedy.
Oh,
first,
damn.
Before they did that.
Oh, he's back. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. You got me, still?
I got you. Go ahead.
Anyway, I'm glad they were respectful of the tragedy. Like you said, there were two young children killed in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble. Not, you know,
you're three.
Not
there were three. There were three young children.
There were three kids. I didn't read up on the details with them.
Yeah.
I thought there was only two. Yeah. That's horrible. Makes it even worse again. Then it's never a good age. I mean, people in prime of life too. It sucks when they die too. I don't know. I had a tough time my head around what went with Kobe and that girl, because I don't know if I checked out the details too harsh back then, but the girl was questionable character, and I hate saying that, because I don't care if you're a questionable character. Nobody has the right to rape you. You know what I mean? I don't care what kind of character you are. I don't care if you're a bimbo or whatever you want to call it. I hate even using that word. I don't know why I use these words.
Well, again, you're judging, and you have no idea what happened.
I'm not judging.
You're judging. You just got, done saying you shouldn't rape anybody. Obviously, you shouldn't rape anybody.
Of course, I'm so sad.
But you don't know what happened in that room. You weren't there.
The only people who can judge what happened in that room is them two.
Exactly. So, but you're judging it.
I'm not judging it. No, I'm not judging because she was. I'm saying people who do judge women's characters in these cases are wrong. That shouldn't even be allowed to be brought in court. That's what these high, mighty, freaking big power guys like Dershowitz does. They beat up the victim. The victim becomes the victim again. That's why.
Yes, and that's why our caller did not understand that part of it. Okay, you're going to proceed. You have a defense attorney. A defense attorney is trained to try to get his client off. How does he do that? By discrediting the other side. My God, if there's anything in her past, he's going to attack that.
Which is why it's important now that all of these cases are coming out. It's the truth.
Believe me, it's a problem that lawyers struggle with all the time. You know, they are defense attorneys who now have to turn themselves into something that morally they may not agree with. They've taken an oath to give the best defense possible to their client. So that's the way they do it. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, it's 3:30. Mike Mussnow Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Time for a Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Thank you, Mike. It is time. It's always that time on the 30s.
Yes, it is.
It's 3:30.
And sometimes it's not that time.
I had to record something.
Okay, that's okay.
Here's
a nice hat today.
Oh, it's my Super Bowl tribute hat.
It is?
Yeah, you don't see it?
I see the eagle.
It has the 52.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was going to wear it tomorrow, but I'm going to a dinner, so I don't want to have hat hair.
All right, let's get the pom-pom one. It's a nice look.
I'm sad. It's not our Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's not.
Over 1,800 votes on this one. Are you already considering trading either Simmons or Embiid? 21% say yes, 79% say no.
All right, thank you. Just to lighten the load a little bit, I have a tale about a pair of my sneakers. Now, unfortunately, I'm an idiot, and I packed this particular sneaker in my bag today to take to work, and I left the house without my bag. So I don't have the sneaker. But I will show it on camera tomorrow. Now, Tyrone, I know how you feel about sneakers. You have a lot of sneakers.
I do.
This particular pair of sneakers is probably 4, maybe 5 years old, but it was a pair of Jordan low cuts that I bought, which I thought had the best design ever that I've ever seen on a Jordan sneaker.
Yeah, those were good sneakers.
And it had a kind of a lining that came out the side of the ankle part. And I have taken care of these sneakers like I would a newborn.
Been very meticulous.
I've cleaned them. I've bathed them. I've held them in my arms and caressed them and rocked them to sleep. And so, therefore, they've stayed in very good shape these 5 years.
Yeah.
So, the other day, I put it on, and the right sneaker had separated.
Oh.
And it was now flappy. The sole had come off the top part.
Yeah.
So, I have two choices here. Should I try to rescue the sneaker, or should I play taps and move on to another pair, which I usually
won't see him no more.
Which usually get from the East Bay catalog. But this design, I was near and dear to. I'll show it tomorrow. It's a design that even the thing about sneakers is you have a great design, a great look. They put it out of service after a year. And I always wonder why. Come back with it. It's a classic. Now Reebok does that. Did that with the Answer. Right? These Jordans, you'll never see another pair of Jordans like this. Okay, but that's not what I did.
What did you do?
What'd you do?
And this is the ruling. I found some glue. And the only glue I had in the house.
Oh, God.
Was Elmer's wood glue.
I knew it was going to be Elmer's something.
It's probably the wrong glue to use, but I use a little Elmer's wood glue, which comes out, if you are familiar with Elmer's wood glue, it is a kind of a tan color.
Yeah.
And so I squeeze that into
the gap?
Into the gap of the sole and pressed it real hard for like 30 minutes. Now, is that okay, or is that the desperate move?
I would say no.
A cheapskate.
Come on, man.
I feel like you should have used like Gorilla Glue or
I didn't have any glue like that in the house. Gorilla Glue is no good because Gorilla Glue expands and then it comes at the sides. So it's like a Duco cement that you have to use.
That stuff won't last. Booney points it out today.
No, it probably won't last. But for the time being, I salvaged the sneaker.
No, you didn't.
I salvaged it. I can't let go of this pair of sneakers.
Come on, man.
I can't do it. It's a classic design. It's still in great shape.
Let's ignore your career. How long you been at this station?
It has nothing to do with my career.
It has to do with
I can't get this style anymore.
Yeah, you can.
You can't.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I'll bring this in tomorrow. You will never find this style again. It was the most unique style I had ever seen in a Jordan.
You can find them again. Sneakers are, right now, you can find them again. You're a man of means. This is insane.
Instead of a...
This is crazy.
I salvaged the sneaker.
No, you didn't.
I did. I wore them the other day. It was perfect.
Come on, Mike. Just come on.
Maybe instead of glue, you should have found some chewing gum, and then we could call you a gumshoe.
Well, ha ha, yuck yuck.
She threw a gumshoe.
Yeah, but listen, the only thing I think at the time is I can't give it up,
Mike.
So,
this is what we're going to do. This is what we'll do.
Find this sneaker.
We will.
I'm telling you, you will not find this sneaker.
Find any sneaker, Mike. You'll have to pay for it.
It's white on the side. It's got a gray top.
Yes. I know what you're talking about.
No, you don't know what I'm talking about. This was the most unique Jordan I've ever seen.
You've never seen it since. You've worn it before. You can find every shoe. You can find it. You'll have to pay $250 or more for it, but you have $250 or more. What are you gluing shoes for? You're a man of means. Like, I let the canned goods, all that stuff, I don't care. But when you start gluing shoes, that's my line.
Listen, man.
We did TV for 2 years, and you didn't repeat a single outfit, but you'll glue shoes? You had all new clothes every day for 2 years on TV. You don't repeat, but your glue shoe.
Because it's a special shoe.
You can get another of that shoe.
I don't know that I could. It's okay.
What is the name? Do you know what?
If you bring them in, listen, we'll find them.
We'll find
you.
The shoes.
You can get the shoe.
Listen to me. I have two go-to white sneakers that I adore. One was the Jordan that I bought 5 years ago that I have kept pristine.
Yes.
I don't work out in this shoe.
Yeah,
this is just a walk-around shoe.
Got you.
And the Nike 270C Air, whatever it's called, that had the blue heel. Like the royal blue heel that I rock every now and then.
Yeah, those are still in pristine
and
as well.
I keep those in pristine condition, and I can't give them up. I can just toss those.
Come on, man. I remember one time before we went on TV, you went over to the Macy's. You loaded up. Remember that Natalie came in talking about how he loaded up? Yeah. Won't mention the amount. You loaded up.
Nordstrom.
You loaded up at the Nordstrom before we went. We were at like a remote before TV started. You loaded up.
Yeah.
Your glue shoes?
People aren't seeing my shoes on TV. All right, they're just different.
But you have to live with them.
Like personal to me, I feel good in that pair of Jordans.
You've done so well in your life, man.
It's not
your mother and father.
It's not about that. It's about finding something special.
Mr. Nellies. This is your version of the soap.
No, it's not. It's a special shoe. There's nothing special about soap.
This is
a unique style.
And I promise we will find the shoe and you will get it shipped within 7 business days. And you will have a new version of your favorite shoe.
All I can tell you is this. The Elmer's wood glue worked. And I have since worn the shoes and it hasn't pried open.
I'm an Elmer's guy. I love an Elmer's.
All right. Love an Elmer's. All right, let's go to Chris in Lehigh Valley. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
On the call. Yeah, Mike, I know you apologize to everybody for your for the Klan rally.
I said it tongue-in-cheek, thinking it was going to be funny. But it wasn't. It wasn't funny.
But you apologize because you're a professional. Mm-hmm.
Nobody instructed me to apologize. Okay?
No,
so I don't want to get the impression that somebody strong-armed me. I did it because some people I offended with that, and I don't want to offend people.
And that's why I say you're a professional, and because you have respect for your audience. You know, you have a diverse audience, so that's just who you are. That's how you do your radio show. On the other hand, I know you know that. I'll say this. I know that's the truth, and I won't comment any further. But the real reason for my call is because I'm alarmed at one of your previous callers at how obtuse he was about. Something in particular. There was a caller who insisted that a woman who was raped or sexually assaulted should immediately call the police.
Yes.
What I wanted to do, if nothing else, is say to any man who thinks this is so simple, please understand the stages of trauma that women go through when they experience something like this.
Mm-hmm.
I have no comment on Kobe's situation particularly, from many years ago, but coming from me, a black man who has worked as a dean of students in college and deals with this kind of situation all the time, it is not so simple as to just call the police. There are many stages, to all the men out there who don't know this, there are many stages that women go through when they are sexually violated. And it's not so simple as to call the police.
Exactly. You're exactly right. You see, the people that think it is need to. I always encourage people to think to the second level. And, prosecutor will go to, okay, this is what you're up against. Your whole sexual history is going to be put on display. This is what they're going to do. They're going to try to expose you and make him the victim. And if you're willing to go, ride that marathon, we can do it. There are a lot of women that go, God, that's not what I it should be easier than that. And they get defeated by the premise that they have to be a victim in court. There are family members that are going to be in that courtroom. There are a lot of decisions they have to make in their head. Now, you might think it's easier for, like, the regular female to do it, that she doesn't have a lot at stake. She's got everything at stake. And the people in Hollywood with this Weinstein case, they have a ton more. They're talking about their entire existence is at stake. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
347, Mike Missinelli Show. I got a website here, the history of Nike Air Jordan shoes. They're all basketball shoes, Tyrone. I'm telling you, they're not these.
You're looking at the wrong site. Those are Jordan brand shoes. Those aren't Jordans. We can find them if you bring them in. You're looking at the wrong site.
What do you mean the Jordan brand shoes? Mine have the Jumpman logo on the back.
All Jordan brand shoes have the Jumpman on the back. Those were not
We need
Jordans.
To find your specific.
Yeah, we'll find
them. You didn't find my specific. I'm telling you, they don't exist.
No, we'll find them.
We'll find them.
Well, how are you going to do? We got to take a picture?
No.
FBI fingerprint identification?
Because me and Ty are actually, we are gumshoes.
Right.
I'm looking at every pair of Jordan shoes, and my shoe is not anywhere to be found.
We will find them, Mike.
I promise you we can find them. Bring them tomorrow.
Jordan brand shoes. We will find.
I'm not feeling good about it.
We feel great about it.
Sally in Havertown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sally.
Hi.
Hi, Sally.
I wanted to talk to you about yesterday when you're... I guess it's partner, the man sitting next to you, talking about Kobe. And he got very adamant that he was found not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. But he was...
Yeah, he said
he was
not
found guilty.
He said he was not convicted. He was not found guilty, is what he said.
But the point was, the case was dropped. Mm-hmm. There was a financial settlement. There was a big diamond ring.
Yeah, there was not a financial settlement. There was a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit that was filed after she decided not to show up to challenge and be a witness.
But I thought it sounded to everybody like I'm sure she got some money out of that.
Yeah, because she filed a civil suit and did get some money.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, but to me, the best thing was that he made a public apology, and I think it was maybe a growing thing for him. Mm-hmm. Seems like he turned out to be a good father and a good family man. And
yeah, he has. And like everything else, like let's look at the Michael Vick case, right? Michael Vick was a hated man in this country. And what it took was a couple of years in prison and an evolution of a man. Now, I saw it firsthand. Mm-hmm. Michael Vick turned into a pretty good human being when he was here. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mitigate the fact... Well, it does mitigate the fact a little bit, but it's always going to be in the narrative what was in his past. In fact, there's going to be this movie on tonight, starts tonight, a two-parter on Michael Vick. And it's part of the narrative. And it's always going to be part of Kobe's narrative.
It is. But to me, I think it's the only one. It's not like we went on hearing this all over. Now, maybe it happened out there in Hollywood and we didn't know it, but it seems like he turned out to be an upstanding, good person, and this was certainly
His wife forgave him, and he wound up raising a family and doing some really good things in society and seemed to have settled in nicely into a life of retirement where he had genuine joy in his life.
He did, and it's really a shame to have seen that go away, especially for this little girl. At the age of 13, she knew she was going to UConn. Yeah. I thought it was cute that they honored her the other night there. I thought that was really
I actually watched that game a little bit.
Yeah.
UConn against the U.S. National Team. U.S. National Team tore them apart, didn't they? It looked like it early. Smashing them.
UConn isn't UConn anymore. Right now, Dawn Staley's running things down there in South Carolina.
They're still in there, though.
Yeah, they're in the mix, but I'm saying that they're not dominant. They're not going to win 100 games in a row. Like, that's not happening anymore. The game itself has caught up.
It's like somebody catching up to UCLA in the past.
Right. It's caught up where you, the other guys, the same things. And on the women's side, there's girls in the Ivy who are going to go to the WNBA. They're getting the same level. Like the mm-hmm. whole women's basketball, because of the WNBA, there's just way more athletes. You can't get them all.
Yeah.
Because there's too many to get them all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go, Mark at Drexel Hill. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mark?
Hi, Mike. First of all, thank you very much for the apology. I appreciate that. I wanted that.
You guys are all my brothers. You know that.
Thanks a lot. Two things. Number one about Kobe, and the last one's about the shoes. You'll be interested because I'm on your side with that thing, 100%. Kobe Bryant lived. His best friend lived two doors down from me, in Penn Wynn, and I used to see these 3-4 guys hanging out there when I would cut the ladies' lawn.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't living there. I was going over to cut my parents' lawn. I had moved out of there. I was like in my 30s. And I always saw this tall black kid, and he was young. I didn't even know who the hell it was. Here it was Kobe. Uh-huh. But I used to find these brown bags with the quart bottles of beer empty, and I mentioned something to his mom, and she says, yeah, the guys drink. And I says, but Kobe doesn't. And I always remembered that. He took care of himself all through his career. Nobody worked harder than him. I'm not talking about the skills. I'm talking about being in shape.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the guy the other day, and he also was in the paper. Kobe played against him in the playoffs, Rip Hamilton.
Yes.
He's the other guy that was in, I don't know if people, in amazing shape. I don't think he ran track. If anybody that calls you knows that, I'd love to know it. Because he ran like in the 420s for a mile. That's unheard of for a person who's mm-hmm. not a track person, because I ran track. Yeah. I mean, that is really a great time.
Well, he can, if you remember his NBA career, he could run all day, Rip Hamilton.
Yeah. But both of them, they never seemed like they got out of shape. The other guy I remember is like Moses Malone. I mean, he was in amazing shape, but he would drink like a whole case of the small pony bottles after the game.
Yeah, they're actually, well, Charles could drink beer in his day, too. I never figured out how guys could drink and be a professional athlete. Like, obviously, I have a drink or two now and then. I would never have a drink of alcohol if I was a professional athlete. There would be no need for it. I would always be thinking I'd be shortchanging myself if I did that.
Well, LeBron has he drinks wine.
He does drink wine.
He's a sommelier.
Yeah. Wade who introduced him, and then he went and took it to the next level. He's does wine, but I mean, he's not getting hammered. But there's people who tell you that drinking a glass of wine could be good for you.
Yeah, that's not the kind of drinking I'm talking about. Like sipping a glass of wine is different than pounding cases of beer.
Well, I mean, I remember the late Darrell Dawkins telling me a story about how they used to drink them at halftime. They were in the locker. Seriously, they were in the locker room. He told me he used to go in there, crack open a couple. Yeah, wait a second. Half.
There was this notion that you replenish the electrolytes that you lost by using beer. Yeah. However, the alcohol still would have an effect on you.
Yeah, he told me.
It was a weird rationalization.
NFL used to do it too, and cigarettes and everything. But the late Darrell Dawkins told me. I was working with you, because obviously I don't know Darrell Dawkins. Mm-hmm. He comes in and tells me, yeah, you go in there, you crack open two or three.
Yeah.
You put them down
in the
real
old
quick.
Day, they would
yeah,
do that.
Get back
yeah,
out there.
I'm sure you felt great.
You do feel
How
good.
Did you not vom?
Nah, they were used to it. That's what they did every game.
Good Lord.
It was just what you did. You're not going to vom if you do it all the time.
I guess.
I don't understand that, like any wind sport. How you could possibly do that? Like, golfers are notorious for it, right? Because it's not a wind sport.
Yeah, in between.
So you can drink a couple of pops after 9 and then carry on.
Yes.
All right, 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour, Brian Westbrook coming up to share the hour. We'll ask Brian about this whole situation. It's the Mike Misnelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.